Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a jammed Monday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening today, thanks for joining us. We're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin was right and Colin was wrong. Plenty of both today. And Joy Taylor is joining me on a Monday. The weather is now becoming a factor in the NFL, which is just another element to this league, which is the world's best league, I think. Joy, how are you?
That was brutal.
Last night.
At the end of the game, when you couldn't even see them, I'm like, we have the most amazing technology, right, in the world. You cannot see them on the field. It was insane.
And Lamar actually threw the ball about as well as he's thrown the ball. It's incredible. So I'll get to that in a second. So, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll make a prediction, or you will make a prediction, or Joy or John will make a prediction. And it just takes a while for it to happen, right? Like, you're like, I always joke, my wife, she'll walk into a restaurant and she'll be like, 6 weeks, it's not going to work. Feng shui is bad, because she used to work in that industry. And, you know, the restaurant will survive for a while, but over time, she has the ability to kind of, having been in that business, go, this doesn't work, the menu's off, the bathrooms aren't clean. It's going to be about 6 weeks to 8 weeks, and it'll fold. And I felt like with the Seattle Seahawks, the first month of the year, first 5-6 weeks of the year, my prediction was, this franchise now doesn't do much well outside of Russell Wilson. He's the life preserver on a failing organization. Now, finally, week 9, you see Seattle. They're becoming what I thought they would become. It's why I like the Rams this weekend. Ask yourself, what do they do well outside of Russell Wilson? The Rams do a lot of things well. They're clever offensively. I mean, I'm not sure there's a team in the NFL deeper at tight end and wide receiver than the LA Rams. They're 31-0 when they lead at half, McVay is. They play well from behind. They play well from ahead. They have the best fourth quarter defense in the NFL. They have the best corner in the league, the best defensive tackle in the league. The Rams do a bunch of things well. If Goff had to sit, they have the best punter in the league. If they had to sit Goff for 2 weeks, you figure they could win a game. Could Seattle win a game in this league without Russell Wilson? Pete Carroll's defense, that cover three now, is obviously the league has figured it out. They gave away the farm to get Jamal Adams, a player I like, but he's a safety. Their last two first-round picks, one, Rashad Penny's an absolute bust at running back, and the linebacker from the Big 12's not playing much. What do they do well? You tell me, because I don't see it. So you can blame Russell Wilson, but this happens all the time. I used to say this about the late Kobe Bryant when Shaq left. Kobe wanted to be the man. He didn't want to be the only man. They had to get him Pau Gasol. If you have a good corner like the Rams do, and you can shut down DK Metcalf, what do you rely on? The running backs are always hurt. The tight ends aren't dynamic. The offensive line is very mediocre outside of left tackle. They have no pass rush. They don't have a lockdown corner. They've got a couple of great defensive players, but there's 11 guys on the field. They've got two stars. What do they do well? The Rams have better special teams. The Rams have a better offensive line. The Rams have a deeper wide receiving running back and tight end core. The Rams, I think, have a much better offensive coach. This is what I thought Seattle was going to be this year, which is good, but not special. I've had two NFL GMs tell me this in the last 2 years, and these are good GMs. These are loaded rosters. We can never figure out what the hell Seattle's doing on draft day. What are they doing? It makes no sense. And Bucky Brooks came on last week, and we talked about Pete Carroll's defense, which, by the way, it's gotten progressively worse year after year. Here's what Bucky said about it.
When the Seattle Seahawks went on that glorious run early in the 2010s, when their defense, the Legion of Boom, was playing at a high level, they did something that was unconventional. They played a cover three system that was very simple. It was something that you would see in high school games on every Friday night, but they did it better than anybody else. When you see the Seattle Seahawks have success, every team in the league started stealing from that. So now more teams get used to seeing that scheme. More teams get used to understanding how to defeat that scheme. And so you have to continue to evolve.
Seattle is 1-3 against winning teams because winning teams, Buffalo, Arizona, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, winning teams do multiple things well. Miami, great special teams, terrific defense. What does Seattle do well? Russell Wilson will take the heat today. He is a life preserver. I don't think this team can win a game in this league. Kansas City lost Mahomes last year for games. They can win games. They're still competitive. I've seen Miami win games this year with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think Seattle wins a game in this league without Russell Wilson. Go ahead, blame him. What do they do well? Kansas City does multiple things well. Steelers, Miami, Buffalo. Russ is cooked. If you have a good corner and it can take DK Metcalf out, Russ is cooked. All right, so Lamar Jackson, one of the reasons people don't like to take risks or chances is because if it fails, people will call you an idiot. People are afraid of being called out. So most Americans take a safer path. And that's okay. That's if that's good for your anxiety levels, you just don't want to get ripped. But you want to know how you get rich in America. And I don't just mean financially rich, but how you get rich and enriched is taking chances, separating yourself from the pack. Now, even the biggest risk takers, the Elon Musks, the Steve Jobs, have failed massively. But Baltimore takes this risk with Lamar Jackson, right? He's a better runner than a thrower. And a lot of people want to be right. And every time Lamar loses, it doesn't work. It does not work. But yet Josh Allen loses, who is more like your classic quarterback, big arm, mostly throws. We're okay. I never hear anybody bail on Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson lost to Bill Belichick in a monsoon in Foxborough. Why would I change my opinion on him? I look at the stats. He was good on third down. He dominated time of possession. He was 24 of 34 and a 99 quarterback rating. He lost to Bill Belichick in a monsoon. Okay. This is interesting, though. So, first of all, Belichick deserves credit. He had Buffalo on the ropes 2 weeks ago, and he just beat the Ravens. And he was a play from beating Seattle in Seattle earlier in the year. New England's not tanking. Belichick's good enough to win games. But here's a prime example. There's a lot of things I worry about with young quarterbacks. Sam Darnold can't stay healthy. Baker Mayfield, their coaches have taken the ball out of his hands. I worry that Joe Burrow will never get support in Cincinnati. I worry that Justin Herbert, the owners, will never pay $9 million a year for a big-time coach. I don't worry about Lamar. He's dynamic. He's passionate. He works hard. He's pissed when he loses. He's got a good coach, a great owner, Steve Bisciotti. They have a very good defense, and they draft exceptionally well. I don't worry about him. But it's funny because the more conventional quarterbacks, we don't dump on as much. But here's what's interesting. So Lamar has faced Belichick twice. And in my lifetime, no coach gives young quarterbacks worse games than Belichick. In fact, it's not even arguable. I think he's 28-3 against the rookie quarterbacks in the last 20 years. Josh Allen of Buffalo, and everybody's still in on Josh, has faced him four times. He's been awful three of them and bad once. He faced him 2 weeks ago. Josh Allen 2 weeks ago, no touchdowns, a pick, a 65 passer rating, 11 for 18. You didn't bail on him. Lamar has faced him twice. Last night, Lamar goes 24-34, 250 yards and a 98 quarterback rate. Well, I mean, in a monsoon. But it just goes to show, this is why people don't take chances. Because with Lamar, every time Lamar has a bad game, y'all bail on him. It's like, I worry more about Joe Burrow ever getting legitimate support. Cincinnati's an organization that refused. I don't even know what the latest is. They wouldn't even build an indoor practice facility. Have you seen the weather in Ohio? We're not even to December yet. They wouldn't build. There was a high school, Moeller High School is a legendary football program in Cincinnati. Legendary high school football program. They once had a coach, Jerry Faust, Notre Dame hired from high school. They had an indoor practice facility. The Bengals didn't. I worry about Joe Burrow getting support. Listen, I live in Los Angeles. I know the people. I know the Spanos family. I know all this. But I worry about them committing fully to a world-class coach or finding the next Brian Flores or Joe Judge. I don't worry about Lamar. Lamar's fine. He's different. I thought he threw the ball in a monsoon. He worked better than 90% of the windshield wipers worked last night in New England. But it's funny that when you take a chance and something's a little different, every time he struggles or loses, I didn't think he struggled last night. He just lost. They couldn't finish drives. We bail on him. And to me, this is why people don't take chances. Because if you do, and by the way, nothing's linear. I mean, even if you take the classic quarterback, you know, the Peyton Manning, the Eli Manning, the classic pocket quarterback, they have bad games, bad years, bad stretches. But nobody calls you out for it because that's the safe pick. That's what we know. That's history. But if you take something that moves a little, throws a little quirky, is a little different, who runs a little, man, the Wolves come out every loss. And I look at Josh Allen, he's awful against Belichick. I look at Lamar Jackson, who's younger than Joe Burrow, and I'm like, oh, he's good against Belichick. He's fine. He's 1-1. It's not man overboard. He's never unraveled. He's different. But listen, as Cam Newton said after the game, Belichick, he's just good. And he's really good in monsoons at home.
Listen, everything that coaches throughout the week, it tends to come up. And, you know, I'm beginning to think he either has like a Staples easy button or a Buffalo Wild Wings button or just a straight direct line to the football guys, because he's like a football whisperer when it comes to anticipating what the game's going to be like, how we need to win, and things like that.
Joy and I talked about this Friday. You just knew all week that Cam and the Patriots, no chance, Baltimore's going to roll them. Cam was efficient. New England did what New England did. There's never been a game that I can remember that I watched the weather as it started, and I thought, oh, this is going to be this is literally that Belichick, if he was a meteorologist, a globologist, or whatever they call people, if he was a Doppler, if he was a human Doppler, he literally, that is the weather that you would want in New England to beat the Baltimore Ravens. You couldn't see. It's perfect New England weather. Lamar's fine.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Two things about Arizona that I love right now and about the NFL. In Major League Baseball, money matters. There's no salary cap. So a Dodgers or a Yankees, they have huge advantages in baseball. Like Oakland, it's hard for them. Baltimore, Seattle, it's hard to compete, smaller markets. In the NBA, markets matter. Most guys don't want to play in Memphis or Charlotte. They like to play in L.A. LeBron liked L.A. Magic liked L.A. Shaq came to L.A. Kareem came to L.A. Markets matter. In the NFL right now, here's where the five best young quarterbacks are playing. Cincinnati, Arizona, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore. Beyond not flashy. Like, now think about that. Oh, by the way, the most talented guy may be in Green Bay. And for a long time, the most accurate guy was when it was in small market New Orleans. Oh, by the way, some think one of the greats of all time played in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning. You know, if the NFL was the NBA, the Cowboys would just go get the best players. But they're a wreck right now. And Arizona's fascinating. So that's the first thing that makes the NFL great. It's not about money. It's not about market size. Draft the right quarterback and get him a good coach, and you become Miami really fast. Arizona's a remarkable story. But here's what I love about Arizona, and their general manager, Steve Keim, did something that men struggle with. I'm seeing it a lot in politics. A real man can admit when he's wrong. Just own it, fellas. Half of you in the country. Just own it. Steve Keim admitted, I whiffed on my draft pick at quarterback. I'm going to redraft a quarterback. That's what Ryan Pace in Chicago couldn't do with Mitch Trubisky. He couldn't admit he whiffed. Everybody knew 10 games in, you whiffed. Steve Keim did what men don't like to do and GMs hate to do in pro sports. You know last year's first round pick? He really whiffed on that. Start over. That, to me, defines a man. Like that's one of the things to me. Oh, I just whiffed. I just made a mistake. I'm not going to you know, hide behind development. I mean, the offensive line. No, Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. It's not close. It's nothing against Josh, but it's not close. This whole thing in Arizona. Think about this. 1 year ago, Steve Kimes was on the ropes. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't win in college in the crappy Big 12. Forget the NFC West. 1 year later, they get the right guy. Kyler gets better, and here's where we're at. And it all starts with a general manager who just owned it. He's like, hey, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that this Kyler Murray guy's not as good as Josh Rosen. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pretend to make me feel better. I am going to roll the dice on a college coach who got fired by his alma mater because the world's changing. By the way, he also did this with his coach. Remember, he hired Steve Wilks. Like 1 year in, he's like, I made a mistake. I'm starting over. Got a quarterback. I made a mistake. This league is about coach and quarterback. He moved off both positions in 1 year. Nobody does that. That's not the way the NFL works because general managers are trying to protect their arses. But the fact that Arizona, we can all give Kyler Murray a pat on the back and he's great. He's great. But the GM here twice with the two most valuable positions moved off him in a year. That does not happen in the NFL. People try to defend their draft picks and their coaching picks forever, and that's when you unravel. That's when it's like, okay, year three with a bad coach, that's three bad drafts, bad. It happens. Hiring coaches in this league is a 50-50 proposition at best. Brian Flores mostly doesn't happen. That's not the way it usually works. You give a guy a coaching job, he's never been a coach even in high school, and 2 years in, you're like, is he the third or fourth best coach in the NFL? It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works with Tom Coughlin. You hire a guy from Boston College, and he beats Belichick and Brady twice in the Super Bowl. It doesn't work that way. It usually looks a lot like what Cleveland's done for the last 25 years. Just a couple years doesn't work, new guy doesn't work, what the Jets have done for the last 25 years. 4 years. Like, Pittsburgh is not the way it works in this league. New England's not the way it works. So I just think it's if you look where all the young quarterbacks are right now, and NBA and NFL, NBA and Major League Baseball, this would never happen. Cincy, Arizona, Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore. By the way, do you want to see? Here is that Kyler Murray to D-Hop play. Here's the radio call, Cardinals radio.
Murray back to throw, flushed out, rolling left in trouble, slips a tackle, got to launch it. He does. Left side, into the end zone, jump ball, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. You've got to be joking me.
Once again, Arizona's game was the best television product in America. It has become, if the Seahawks games are all weird, the Arizona games are all riveting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Michael Vick now joining me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. It's so interesting because, Michael, I'm looking around the league now and I see a lot of Michael Vicks. I see guys who aren't the classic 6'4 and guys that can move. Let's start with this. I defended Russell Wilson today. I said, take him off this team. How many games do they win? I can tell he's pressing. So let's go back. I'm not sure if it was Atlanta or it was Philadelphia. You had a team that couldn't stop anybody. Yeah. And I want you to take me. Was it Philadelphia back about 6-7 years ago?
It was Philadelphia 2012.
And you couldn't stop anybody. Tell me what it's like when you're a quarterback knowing you have to win by shootout.
You feel like you got to do everything. You feel like the onus is on you to pass it, to run it, to direct the offense, to lead touchdown drives. You almost feel like you got to make up for what the defense is not going to do. And that season, I can vividly remember being 3-1, getting off to a good start. I was cooking. I was playing well. Even the guys around me was playing well. Even with the offensive line shuffle that we had going on, we was holding it down and the defense was doing the same, but you could still see the flaws. And, you know, it was a lot of high scoring games and it started out well, but it didn't finish well. We finished 4-12. We started out 3-1 and then we lost a bunch of games, but I just felt like I had to do everything. I had to be perfect. And I know Russ is feeling that. It's a natural thing as a quarterback when your defense is not playing as well. And when you're getting knocked around and getting hit. You start trying to do too much, become careless with the football. You start throwing it into traffic. You start trying things. And, you know, it's sort of a natural progression, you know, as a quarterback to try to, you know, play the hero. And I know that's what Russell is doing right now. It's unfortunate, but sometimes this is how the game go.
So I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson. He lost to Bill Belichick in a monsoon. I think the Ravens have other issues. What is your take? Because we loved Baltimore last year, but I don't think the onus is just on Lamar. Are there things that you worry about? Do you worry about Lamar? You know him very, very well. What do you worry about with them?
I don't worry about Lamar. When I look at the game last night, you know, Lamar was very efficient in the passing game, even though it was a monsoon coming down and it was inclement weather. I was never a good passer to football in the rain. You know, Lamar has a big hand, so obviously, you know, the grip was there. He threw the ball well. He ran it well, over 300 yards of total offense, but Bill Belichick has a way of taking away the things that you do best. What I am concerned about with the Baltimore Ravens is the run defense.
Yeah.
The Patriots was physical at the point of attack last night. And you know, we talk about it all the time. The team who has the most success in the run game is going to have the direct correlation to winning the football game. So, you know, I'm not worried about Lamar. I think they need to pick it up in a couple of different areas. But I honestly say this, if it was a dry night last night, I think they would have had a better chance of winning. And there was some drops and some plays that wasn't made. It was the fumble that Ingram had that, you know, it's not on Lamar. It's on the offense as an entirety. So, you know, they just got to keep pushing forward and kind of put the game last night behind them.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So the one guy that runs around in this league, I think you're much faster than Russell Wilson, but I watch Kyler and I do see some of Michael Vick. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't the classic 6'3 guy. You would outrun defenders. Russell doesn't outrun defenders. Russell, you know, he runs smartly, but he didn't outrun anybody. Kyler outruns dudes. When you watch Kyler Murray, what are things, I mean, do you watch him and think, man, he does that better than me? Do you see yourself in him?
You know, I put myself in Kyler's shoes, and if I would have had that spread system, spread offense, because the offense he's running, it looks fun. You know, it's dynamic. You know, it's totally throwing defenses off. And, you know, obviously you have to have the right guy behind the center in order to make it work. And Kyle is that guy. He, you know, he's got exceptional speed and quickness. You can't see him behind the offensive line. And then when he raises up the throw, he's throwing the football accurately. So, you know, this guy's going to take the league by storm. He's going to continue to play and ascend in the right direction. He's going to continue to get better. Sky's the limit for this guy. And Arizona, you know, is in really good shape in terms of their schedule and the future with Kyler Murray quarterback. I see a lot of him and me, man. But, you know, I will say he's doing it a lot better.
Well, I think you said something that's interesting, is that he is hard to see behind the line. Like, that there is a deception part to Kyler Murray that's real. Now, Tua is not being asked to do as much. But I got to tell you, in terms of judgment, you know, a lot of this league, Michael, is, I mean, you've been there. You have a quarter second. Whatever it is, yeah. Tua makes really good, quick decisions. What do you make of the Dolphins and Tua so far?
I think starting with Tua, you know, on top of him making good decisions, it's his vision. You know, somewhere like Kyler Murray, you know, us guys in that 6 feet or less category, we got to be, you know, good decision makers, but we also have to have the vision, because we're not 6'3", we're not 6'4", we don't drop back and just see things developing. We got to see it pre-snap, and we got to see it happening as we drop and as the play is going on. And it's not the easiest thing. You know, you got to naturally find passing lanes, and that's what Tua's doing.
Yeah.
And it's equating to his accuracy. So I think all that bottled up together makes him who he is. And the fact that, you know, he's left-handed doing it makes it even sweeter for me to watch. But this kid is just, you know, he's a diamond in the rough. And, you know, we were talking about a couple weeks ago him being on the audition. Well, I think he's passed that audition. I think the Miami Dolphins can move forward with him. You know, fortunately for him, they have an incredible defense. You know, I think they excel in all three phases of the game, and all Tua has to do is just do his part. And, you know, from the decision-making, you know, he was the same way in Alabama, threw the ball accurately, made good decisions. And, you know, it's a direct parallel right now to the NFL. He's doing the same thing. It's been no drop-off. So he's only going to continue to get better. He said the game is getting easier for him, and hopefully it continues to stay that way.
Yeah, you make a really good point. It's like Alabama. Throw 25 times, complete 18, don't make any picks. Alabama's always got great defense. There is a parallel between what Brian Flores is about and what, by the way, Brian Flores is a Belichick disciple. Nick Saban's a Belichick disciple. It is, and I'm sure there were phone calls about this. I think you're right. Tua's doing the Alabama thing. So, all right, Michael, great seeing you. 13 years, 4 Pro Bowls. Michael Vick, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Kyle.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tampa Bay is now a 7-3 football team, is a good football team, right? But they actually won twice yesterday. They won the game, which we thought they would. Christian McCaffrey was out. Carolina's a total rebuild. And they'd come off a horrible performance the week before, so you knew they were going to have a very focused week of practice. Tampa Bay did. But they also won because Drew Brees is banged up for about 3 weeks. So think about this. Do you know who's going to decide this division? Not Brady, not Brees, not Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston. Because in the next 3 weeks, the Saints with Jameis Winston play Atlanta twice. And Atlanta's hot. They've won 3 of 4. Start looking at New Orleans' schedule. They'll beat Denver. We know that. They're going to beat Denver. Denver's not a good football team. But they play Atlanta twice the next 3 weeks, and Jameis probably starts both those games. And it's going to be very interesting. Remember, I said this last week about Tampa. Tampa, nobody, I don't care who it is, including the Steelers. Outside of the Chiefs, I wouldn't give any team in the NFL a shot, even with COVID, where there's no crowds, to win back-to-back-to-back road games, especially if it's against good quarterbacks and good coaches. And in the NFC, you got a lot of good coaches and a lot of good quarterbacks. Tampa Bay is not going to win 3 straight road games as a wild card team. They have to win the division. They've got to get a home game. You can win a couple roadies. Remember, the Super Bowl's in Tampa. And if you win the division, your first playoff game's in Tampa. You can win road games, but you're not winning 3 straight roadies. So they need a break. They got it. Is that now Atlanta is on fire, and Atlanta plays the Saints twice, and the Saints are on a backup quarterback. If it was Teddy Bridgewater, like last year, I'd feel great. With Jameis, I don't know how I feel. He could be very good. But when I watched this division, the two things that jumped out to me with Tampa, they got a bit of a break here. They really did get a bit of a break because you know they won't be as efficient with Jameis as Brees. Why would they be? He just got there. There's no preseason. He hasn't had the snaps. He hasn't had the practice snaps. So it's not going to be great. And Atlanta right now offensively is really, really good. But the two things I didn't like about Tampa, they corrected both of them. I think this is a power football team. I think this is cake and the passing is icing. This team last week was all icing and no cake. They wouldn't run the football. I thought yesterday, Ronald Jones and Fournette, they figured it out. We're really very capable of owning the clock, running the football about 55, 57% of the time. And I thought Tampa went back to that, which, of course, once they did, opened up all the passing lanes for Godwin, A.B., Gronk, and Mike Evans. That was the first thing. And the second thing I noticed is when you give Brady protection in a running game, they're really, really good. So the key for Tampa is going to be, is their offensive line able to create a running game and give Tommy time? Because when you have a running game, they can't cheat. Nobody pins their ears back. The linebackers have to play the run. And so I think they kind of solved two issues. They went much more power, which gave Tom more time, which opened up all their passing. And they got a huge break. So like the Atlanta Falcons and Jameis Winston are going to control this division. And in the next 3 weeks, we could have a new leader.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, here we go. Every Monday, I admit where I whiff, some right, some wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I've been very streaky on Blazing 5 this year, and I had a great week. I took the Giants to beat the Eagles straight out. I thought Tampa would roll convincingly Carolina. I thought the Dolphins would keep it rolling, and everybody liked Seattle, and I didn't. I said if Jared Goff is comfortable, the Rams always win. I picked him. By the way, I'm 6-1 on Ram picks this year. So I'm now up to 24 wins, 25 losses, and a tie. I've already seen the numbers this week. Not sure if they're as good as last week, which I said was the best numbers this year, but they're good.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been selling this whole rebooting thing in New England all year, and I thought they were going to be a 5-win team, but they're now 4-5. And the reality is, outside of the Steelers in Kansas City, this is a league of good but not special teams. And they play defense, and with Cam and bad weather, they run the ball, and they're pretty efficient. They're not going to. They had Buffalo on the ropes 2 weeks ago. They had Seattle on the ropes. Is that when you have a league with a bunch of good teams, go to Foxborough with bad weather, Bill Belichick, you got a young quarterback, he makes it rough. And they did. They may be rebooting, but they did dominate time of possession. They ran for 175 yards, and they're still a very effective team if they can get the right circumstances.
Where Colin was right.
I said it last year. Week two of last year, I said, you've got to watch this kid in Arizona. I said, I know you all love Mahomes. I've never seen a quarterback play like this, Kyler Murray. I said, I'm the only guy that doesn't live in Arizona that watches every snap of the Cardinals games. Now the rest of you are seeing. I've never seen a kid play like this. He's not Russell Wilson. He's way faster than Russell. I mean, he runs like he's like a running back. He's like 30% Russ, 50% Michael Vick. I think he's more entertaining to watch than even Mahomes. I think we've seen quarterbacks that share some of Mahomes' traits. I said it week two last year. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a player like this in the NFL. He's not the best player yet. But his style, there is no comp. And it's not Russell Wilson. That's not it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Getting harder and harder to defend Carson Wentz of the Eagles. Listen, yesterday they ran the ball really, really well. So he had a running game. He had some of his receivers back. And he had no touchdowns and a 73 passer rating. I also think Doug Peterson got worked by Joe Judge. But he's got to be more consistent. Yesterday it wasn't hero ball. He just missed on some throws. And again, I like him, but look at that throw. That's just a bad NFL throw. He missed open guys yesterday. I mean, that's a terrible throw. I thought Daniel Jones was fantastic yesterday and looked by a long shot like a significantly better NFL quarterback. Significantly better. More accurate, more zip, more athletic. I still like Wentz's talent, but it's not clicking. As somebody said in our show last week, Chris Cooley, the former Washington tight end, he said, I don't know if this fits. And after yesterday, I'm like, I don't know if it fits either.
Where Colin was right.
I've been on this all year. Tampa's a power running team with really good perimeter weapons. Yesterday, they finally commit to the running game, and what do you get? Ronald Jones is an A running back. He can have an occasional fumble problem, but he is great. And Leonard Fournette is a really strong number two. Gronk's one of the best blocking tight ends, and it's an above-average blocking offensive line. This is a run team. They should be running 55 to 56% of the time, not throwing it 60% of the time. I like their receivers, but yesterday when they finally committed to the run, what do you know? All their receivers had great games. So I think Bruce Arians and Brady are struggling identifying what they are. And I thought for the first time this year, maybe the second time, I'm like, okay, they're getting it. They should be a power running team with the ability to. And by the way, did you notice Brady yesterday threw a lot of deep balls? Didn't connect on a lot of them. But Brady is seeing it. When the run game is this effective, it sucks everybody up to the line and it creates huge over-the-top opportunities. Now, he didn't hit on them yesterday, but that's where they should. A power running team that'll go over the top. Not a team that goes low percentage over the top plays to start games and then can't run because they're behind.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said all summer, Drew Locke, I think he's going to pop. I see some special here. He ain't it. You know what he is? He's got the Baker Mayfield issue. He thinks he's a lot better than he is, so he's loose. He's kind of cocky. He plays like he's better than he is, so he lacks a sort of humility when he plays, and Baker's got this. Baker thinks he's more athletic than he is. Whereas Tua, I think, is starting to get, like, there are limitations to what I can do athletically, so I have to be super accurate. And Drew is way too loose, way too sloppy. This doesn't work. I mean, he had 10 picks in 5 games, And I don't. It's really bad early in games where he should be on script, where he should have things he knows he can do well. He gets himself into huge holes every week with bad decisions.
Where Colin was right.
I never felt Baker was a number one pick. I said Baker Mayfield's a complimentary piece to a really good running game, and Cleveland's finally figured it out. Cleveland yesterday, now obviously weather was a big part of it. When they rushed 30 or more times, Baker's 5-0, fewer 1-3. Baker Mayfield was a second to a third round talent. He is a complimentary Case Keenum piece. You can win games with a very good coach and a sturdy defense and a great running game. That is when Case Keenum has flourished. Have you noticed with Cleveland? This bad weather actually plays into Cleveland's hands. They're allowed to take passes off, don't have to worry about any grumbling, run the football. It's when Cleveland's at their best.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always liked Jim Harbaugh more than everybody else. This isn't working. Now, I will say in defense of him, James Franklin's a good coach. His team's a mess this year. PJ Fleck's a good coach. His team's a mess. Some of this is the Big Ten is all over the map. But you can't keep getting blown out. Wisconsin had to deal with a massive COVID outbreak. They couldn't practice on their schedule. And they hammered Michigan. And they can't get the quarterback right. I can't figure that out because Harbaugh, you would think of all the positions as a former NFL quarterback and an alpha, would get the quarterback right. But it's not working. Again, what do they do well? What do they do well? Right now, Michigan does nothing well.
Where Colin was right.
Said a couple weeks ago, the New York Giants are the best bad team in the NFL. They're the Miami Dolphins of last year. Everybody bailed on them in September. This is a good football team. And stop banging on Daniel Jones. He's really, really effective if you give him any time to throw. He throws a beautiful football. He doesn't have a huge arm. He's a very effective runner. And Dave Gettleman, you guys all crushed him for that OBJ trade. He won that trade. They got Dexter Lawrence, an excellent defensive lineman. They ended up getting Jabril Peppers is a box safety who's third on the team in tackles, good on special teams, and a starting guard. Cleveland didn't get much out of that deal. The Giants won that trade. They are absolutely, fundamentally the best 3-7 team in the NFL through 10 games I've ever seen. If this team had more athletic ability on the perimeter, they're kind of pedestrian on the outside, I think they could win a playoff game. I just don't know if they have the next level.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have been very critical of the Lakers front office. I got to give them credit. Reportedly, they have landed Dennis Schroeder, a point guard. He's really good. He's athletic. He's only 27. He's averaged double digits in his entire career. He'll give you 18. I thought he was, at times, their best playoff performer for OKC. It's a very nice piece, and the Lakers are absolutely better. And according to reports, they gave up a 28th pick in this crappy draft. And Danny Green, who I like, but he's old and he's expensive. This is a really, really good deal. If it's consummated by the Lakers, it makes them younger. It makes them more athletic. They got a playoff experience guard. And he's a double-digit scorer. This is what he's been his entire career. This is a really, really good get for the Lakers if Rob Pelinka can pull it off. I saw that story this weekend. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because what they don't really have at point now, they need younger legs. They've got to be more athletic. And now all of a sudden, Avery Bradley comes back with Dennis Schroeder. Now, that's a formidable backcourt. With the best front court, LeBron and AD, in the NBA. So now all of a sudden, now that team, now this Laker team, it's like, oh, Avery Bradley, Schroeder, Kuzma, LeBron, AD. All right, that feels like a championship team with a